Hopefully today, as we look at the text, we'll see that worry comes from interruptions in our life that we're not ready for. And how do we handle those interruptions in our life? There are 5 days in a work week, and have you ever noticed that each one can be completely different than the next? It makes sense why Jesus would say in Matthew 6:34, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." And when I think about my week, that was how it went. Sunday night, Ben Noah spoke a word from the Lord to us. And if you haven't come on a Sunday night, I would encourage you to make this your invitation. I am inviting you to come tonight to hear a word from a member. On Sunday nights, we are hearing the stories of our members, how God has touched them, how God has affected them, how God has played a role in their life. And last Sunday, Ben Noah left us with this question: are interruptions in life our good fortune or God in action? I want you to put a pin in that. Are interruptions in life our good fortune, or are they God in action? Just think about that and put a pin in it. So Monday and Tuesday happened in my life, and there was numerous interruptions. All of a sudden, I found myself not being able to concentrate on what I'm supposed to be able to concentrate on. And after those 2 days, I would probably tell you that I was not a very happy person to be around. I wasn't jovial. I wasn't smiling. It was just trying to get through those 2 days. But with every Monday and Tuesday, there has to be a Wednesday, right? There has to be a Wednesday. And Wednesday came. More importantly, Wednesday night came. And Lexi Weatherall comes up to me and gives me 3 pictures. And they are 3 pictures that some of the kids had to draw of the preacher. And I want you to notice the drawings, and they're kind of hard to see, but you'll notice a theme in the drawings. And the theme is this: you wear pink pants one time, and that's what you get remembered for. But I will tell you this, it was a needed interruption in my day. It was a needed interruption in my week. And that word interruption is going to be the key for today. How do we handle the interruptions in life? And in Acts 10, starting in verse 9, and we're going to read verse 9 through 16, and then we're going to look at portions of the rest of Acts 10. But in Acts 10, 9 through 16, we have what I think is a great interruption in the life of Peter, and how Peter is going to handle this, and what Peter does. And we're also going to notice who does the interrupting as well. And so read with me, if you have your text, read with me Acts 10, verses 9 through 16. "About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He fell asleep. He saw the heaven opened, and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its 4 corners. In it were all kinds of 4-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean.' The voice said to him again a second time, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened 3 times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven." C.S. Lewis says this: "The great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life God is sending one day by day." Now, if I were to ask who in here is a planner, how many of you would raise your hands? Who in here every night sets down the details of your next day? right? Some of us would probably raise our hands. We would say, this is what I do. I plan out my next day. You know what's going to happen the next day. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. But my question is this: what do you do when the interruptions come into your life? The curveballs, the stop-down moments, or the moments unplanned for? You know what I'm talking about. It's those moments or experiences and even voices that throw a kink in the daily routine and plan. How do you see those moments in life? How do you respond to those moments in life? And I think throughout this story that we've been on with Luke, Luke has been trying to give us a story to hold on to live into, a story that will form us. As we've been seeing, we are a people partnering with God on mission, not doing it alone, but given the Holy Spirit, formed by the Holy Spirit to become a unique community, emboldened by it to stand up for and witness to the risen Messiah. But not just some are emboldened, as we've seen. All have been given unique gifts from the Spirit. And as we saw last week, all are being called into action. And so if we from last week get the idea that yes, we want to say yes like Ananias, make us like Ananias, Lord, I am ready, send me, then Luke gives us Acts chapter 10. Luke gives us an indication of what a life on mission, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will look like. And it's my hope today that if you get one thing out of this sermon, it is this: that we are a people being prepared to be interrupted by God in action moments. And hopefully, we will begin to see interruptions in our life differently. And so, most of us in here have read Acts 10. We know Acts 10. We probably get Acts 10. We know what's going on in the story of Acts 10. Peter being interrupted, Peter being in a dream and receiving this dream that we just read. And from this dream, a man named Cornelius has his servant show up. And from there, Peter has to figure out what to do next. But if you've ever read, and as we're reading Acts 10, hopefully you've noticed that the first 10 chapters of Acts, that interruptions are frequent, they are often, and most of the time they are incredibly disconcerting to the community. Every time the community thinks they have a handle on the situation, when things feel as if they're getting better, persecution enters in. They're still trying to figure out what to do with the biggest interruptible moment, and that is that Jesus did rise again. And also, that not only did Jesus rise again, that Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. You will be my disciples. And every time they think they get a handle on it, they think they've got a pretty good bead on what it means to be community, on what it means to follow Jesus, another chapter of Acts shows up, and something else new happens. And so Luke brings us into this encounter with Peter. And you can imagine it. Peter, at this point, has an idea of what the preferred future of God is. He has all of his plans mapped out. Peter, at this point, probably thinks, I've got a pretty good idea of what God is doing. He's made his checklist for the day. He's a bit hungry. He's a bit tired, so he's going to take a nap before he eats. But he's made his checklist for the day. He has his plans set in motion. Peter knows what he has to do. He's taken the right classes. He knows the right people. And like us, we do the same thing. We take all the right things so that we can be the best in our profession, so that we can try to be the best parent possible, so that we can be the best Christian possible. We try to set out a plan so that we can do each of these things. And so Peter, pushing full steam ahead in Acts 10, prepares for the future of what it's going to look like. But then we get to verse 9. And in verse 9, we notice there's an interruption. And have you ever noticed that when you think you've got everything perfectly figured out, there's always an interruption? There's always something that comes into life. You think you've got it all right. You're actually checked off all your boxes on the daily plan. And then all of a sudden, it's that one box that can't get checked off because something happened. And in this moment in Acts 10, verse 9, we encounter God interrupting Peter. We encounter God showing up in Peter's dream. And this is when it gets dicey for any of us. Anytime an interruption happens, we begin to try to figure out, what do we do with it? How do we handle it? Do we consider the interruption in life a nuisance? Is it something to just ignore? Do we play it off as happenstance? Do we play it off as just, oh, that happens, and let's push it aside? But interruptions have a way of kind of following us. They don't just happen and go away. They have a way of sticking with us, of not letting us just get by it. If you have it's like having a child, when your child gets to that 2 and 3 stage and you try to answer a question and all they can say next is, why? And so you've answered the question and you think you've answered it, and then they're like, why? Well, it's because of this. Well, why is it because of this? Because it's this. And before you know it, you've lost a whole day because all you've been answering is the whys, and they've completely interrupted your day. I mean, you probably experienced that, and you don't know what to do with it, and you sit back and go, what in the world just happened? I've lost my entire day. Well, here we are encountering God in this moment. All Peter wants is a nap and then to eat. And in the midst of that, God shows up. And when God shows up, we begin to see something in Peter. A lot like us, when interruptions hit us, we begin to notice in our own selves that we have biases, that we have expectations of how we think things should go. And interruptions have a way of kind of pushing against those. Interruptions have a way of making us kind of stop and think about them. And here, what we notice is that in the middle of this dream, Peter's identity, Peter's idea of the future is now being intersected with God's idea of the future, with what God thinks the future should look like. And in this moment, we get caught in this intersection. And we've all been sitting at intersections. And if you sit at a four-way stop, I sat at a four-way stop the other day, and I almost got in 2 wrecks because no one knows who to go next. We always think we should, but we don't. And so here we are. Peter is sitting at this intersection, and God has showed up with a dream, and what does he do next? And what we notice is, and with Peter and his response, is that Peter has this mindset to believe that he has the corner market on the future. He knows what the future is going to look like. And we do that too, right? We put our own plans down, and we think that we're the creators of a future a lot of times. We try to do all the right stuff, and we try to follow a set plan. And what a lot of times that does is it makes us believe that we are kind of the creators of future. That we can figure this out. That we know what's going to happen. If we do this, and if we do this, and if we do this, then it'll all work out. And we see Peter like that as well. We see Peter struggling with what he sees as the preferred future. We see Peter struggle with the idea that, God, I know what you're up to. I know what's going on here. I know what I'm supposed to do. And when we get kind of in that mindset, when we get boxed into this idea that we're the creators, then interruptions become really hard to handle. Then interruptions manifest themselves into worry. And then worry manifests itself into fear. And then fear manifests itself into irrational behaviors. But it's how we handle, I think, how we hold on to the future and how Peter's holding on to it that I think gives us hope. I think hopefully begins to help us be able to see interruptions differently. So when Ben Noah tells us our interruptions, and he said our good fortune or God in action moments, hopefully we'll be able to see interruptions a little bit differently as we see Peter handle them. That we'll even maybe be called to the box that we've been living in that says that we are the creators of a future. But that maybe we can hold a little less tightly to that and recognize that God is in action at every moment of our life. And so when we read Acts 10, I wish I could tell you that the plans you have today will be the plans that you have tomorrow. But as we've learned, every day is completely different than the next. The conversations are different. Encounters are different. I wish I could say that there will be no sheets that come in a dream like with Peter. When Peter laid his head down, he probably thought, I'm just going to get a good nap. And then I'm going to go about my day. I wish I could say that there will be no sheets in our life. But instead, what I'm going to ask you today to be is what I think we see in the story, and the story up until this point, is can we be a people who are willing to embrace the interruptions of life? Can we be a people willing to be interruptible? To not just see interruptions as a nuisance, to not just see interruptions as something that needs to get pushed to the side, but to see interruptions as a possible God in action moment. And so here in Acts 10, we notice a couple things. Here in Acts 10, we notice how difficult it is because in the dream, God doesn't just interrupt Peter once. How many times does it say God interrupts Peter? Three times. Three times the sheet comes down. And as the sheet comes down, Peter says what? Peter says the right answer. Peter says the answer that should be said. Peter is still, while following Jesus, still we notice that he's being held onto by certain biases, certain tendencies. Part of that is the law. No, Lord, I will not eat anything because it is unclean. Peter does what is right for what he knows. It's the same thing we see in Romans 7. In Romans 7, as Paul is trying to speak to the church there. In Romans 7, starting in verse 7, he says this. In the same way, my friends, you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we are slaves not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. Here, Paul, as he's writing to this Roman church, is trying to look at them and say, you who live in the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus came to interrupt those things that you have clung to, those things which have made you see the world in a certain way. And for Paul in this moment, it's the law. And here for Peter, it's the law. Peter, still living in the life of Jesus, is clung to the law. No, Lord, I will not eat, for it is unclean. When interruptions come into our life, we notice that there are certain things that come in and say, well, it can't happen that way. It can't be like that. I wasn't expecting that. It doesn't go in the order of the things that I have prepared. And we find, like Peter, that we're doing the same things. But I want you to notice something. It's not as if God was done with Peter after Peter got through the dream. Because in verse 17 of this text, it says this. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen. Peter woke up puzzled by it. Same way that we, when an interruption comes into our life, we are puzzled by why that interruption would happen right here. We find ourselves asking God, why now, Lord? This doesn't make any sense. I've got my ideas. But we notice that God is not done with Peter. God is not done interrupting Peter. And I think as Peter begins to find out, Peter finds out that a life in Christ meant living in the reality of constant interruptions by God. That God would constantly be interrupting. Because what do we begin to see? We begin to see not just the sheets were an interruption, but then we see that Acts 10:17. So right after he's puzzled, the men from Cornelius show up. And then right after the men from Cornelius show up, another interruption happens because in 10:22, the men say, not only are we here for Cornelius, but Cornelius wants you to come visit him. Now, not only is that an interruption, but then in Acts 10:30, we have another interruption as Peter encounters Cornelius, and all of a sudden, Cornelius, and let's think about who Cornelius was in this moment, Cornelius, a Gentile and a centurion. So not only was he a Gentile, but he was also what? He was an occupier of the land. He was the enemy. Cornelius, a Gentile and a centurion, has had visions. And then a fourth interruption in Acts 10:44, as he's having this conversation with Cornelius, the presence of the Holy Spirit shows up in the life of Cornelius in the household. And so it's not just the interruption of a dream. We notice that God continually keeps interrupting Peter's life. God didn't just stop. God continued on. And we get this verse in Acts 10:34 as he's trying to figure this out. And he says this, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And so Peter, in this moment of interruption, as he's trying to figure it out, as we see that his kind of prejudices and biases to the law kick in, no, nothing unclean, Lord, can ever enter on my lips. Nothing unclean can ever cross the barrier that you've created. And we begin to see this interruption that God says, if you pay attention to what's going on in the midst of the interruption, you'll see that I am acting in it. You'll see that something here is going on. And that's the difficulty of the interruption, though. Can we embrace it enough? Can we live in it enough? Can we be okay when it happens? To recognize that in this moment, God may be interrupting us, having us open our eyes to what's in front of us. And if we think about the implications of what that can mean, if we could move to a point of living and embracing the interruptible life, if we could embrace the story that says that from Acts 1 until now, God is acting in the world. If we could possibly begin to notice the interruptions like a coworker walking into your office when you've got to meet a deadline, a coworker who interrupts you and says, I need to talk. How will you handle that? Will it be, I really got to meet this deadline, maybe tomorrow? Or can you set things aside to say, let me listen, because in this moment, God may be interrupting you. Can you handle when a friend comes to you and says, hey friend, I need to talk to you, but come to find out, it's a friend talking to you about something that's been going on in your life that you haven't noticed. Can you stop and listen to them as they say, friend, I love you, and this is what's going on? It's not the easiest interruption to handle, but can we stop and listen and in that moment notice a God in action moment. Maybe you've had a hard day at work, and all you want to do is get into your garage, shut the garage door, and be done with the world. But as you do, you notice your neighbor waving at you. And your neighbor just wants to talk. And you're thinking what? The last thing I want to do is talk to that guy. And yet, are you able to stop for a moment and be interrupted to what could go on between you and that neighbor? Handling interruptions is difficult. Because most of the time, we don't like them. Now, we like the good ones, right? The ones that are for us. But handling interruptions in general is difficult. But I think as we see in Acts 10, that we're being prepped for this. We're being prepped to be able to have this life in which we acknowledge that God is at work. That if God wants to use you like Ananias, if we say, God, use me, then what we're opening ourselves up to is a God who will interrupt and intersect in our life in those moments that we're not ready for, that may catch us by surprise. But I think maybe, just maybe, if we begin to have a different posture to it, if we realize and truly believe that the Spirit is empowering us, that it has emboldened us, that it has called us to witness, if we can truly hold on to that as a people and as a church, then we'll be prepared for those moments of interruption, of maybe God wanting us to see something about ourselves, of maybe God wanting us to see the person in front of us and pay attention, and in this moment be able to witness to them the good news of Jesus Christ. But we're going to have to be able to get by even our biases and our prejudices and our stringent need for deadlines and all of these things to live into the fact that God is working in this world, setting us up for even something that could happen tomorrow. Because like Peter had his ideas. Peter thought he knew what was going to happen. He didn't go take a nap thinking, I'm going to be hanging out with the Roman centurion the next day. But as we notice, every interruption opens up Peter to a little bit more. Every interruption opens Peter up a little bit more to witness and to listen. And before you know it, by Acts 10:36, Peter is witnessing to the good news of Jesus Christ to Cornelius. And there are those moments that we have to pay attention to. Don't be afraid when life is interrupted. Don't be afraid when your plans are pushed just a little bit. Don't be afraid when you can't check all the boxes off because something came up. But instead, be open to those moments. See them as God in action moments. And that God has, in that interruption, set you aside and called you for that moment. There's implications to when we say, like Ananias, okay, Lord, send me. The implications are, I believe, our life will be interrupted, as we've seen for the first 10 chapters of Acts. I'll leave you this quote. Henry Nouwen says this, I used to complain about all the interruptions to my work until I realized that these interruptions were my work. These interruptions were my work. Maybe God is interrupting your life today. Maybe God has put people in your life, has even put something in your life that is convicting you, and you need help with it. You're struggling with it. The beauty of what we'll see next week is you don't have to handle these interruptions in life by yourself. Acts 15 tells us that there's a community of people who will surround you and help you to better discern and understand these interruptions. You don't have to do it by yourself.